Hey y'all, welcome to Triumph Over Trauma, the podcast. Listen y'all, I created this podcast because, like so many other people, I've had a traumatic past. I didn't always realize how those things affected me negatively and how I even carried them into my adult life. And so I wanted to create a space where other people could come and we could have candid conversations on how you identify trauma, how do you navigate it, and how you recover from traumatic experiences. If this resonates with you, then join me. I am your host and trauma survivor, Ms. Eve McNair. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Triumph Over Trauma, the podcast. I wanted to thank you all for your support of the podcast, for your engagement. Some of you have been rating the podcast and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So I just want to thank you for all of your support. Thank you for listening. And thank you for helping to push the message of hope that you can triumph over trauma and that healing and restoration and wholeness is possible. So thank you again for all of your support. Guys, this week's episode is a tough one. I mean, I really don't even know where to start. I am having difficulty even recording this episode, if I'm honest. I'm sure that you have likely already heard about the events that happened in Uvalde, Texas.
Thank you.
Sadly, to reiterate, an 18-year-old gunman shot and killed 19 children, two teachers, and his own grandmother before he was killed by special forces. My heart just breaks. Y'all, I'm truly just devastated. I forced myself to watch a video of each child's photo, and like I said, I literally had to force myself, and thank God I work from home because I was a mess afterwards. I was just so distraught as I watched all of those beautiful little children's faces, and as I read about the teachers, and even one of the teachers who had passed just days ago, obviously, her husband, as he's planning her funeral, he did also die as well from a heart attack, which I'm sure has a lot to do with the death of his wife. He and his wife leave behind four children as well. And my heart just breaks. My heart breaks for even the family of the gunman. My heart breaks for our nation as a whole, to be honest. And unfortunately for me, I can identify with this trauma all too well. I lost a brother and a cousin to gun violence. And I mean, every loss is and can be traumatic. Every loss is and can be devastating. But this just seems so senseless. It seems so unfathomable. It just seems so unreal that we still live in a country where our children are not safe in schools. And I think to myself, who is to blame here, right? Like, can we blame the parents? Can we ask them the questions? Did you notice that something was wrong? Was it apparent that there were some mental health concerns or issues there? Did you see anything that you might have neglected or ignored? Was there any sign of distress or mental dysfunction with this young man? I want to ask the people of the town, because I'm told the town is so very small that people remember passing this young man and being in his company briefly. And I think to myself, did anyone else in the town notice? Did he seem off? Did he reach out for help? did he mention anything? You know, did he have coworkers? Were there any church groups? Were there any people who could have noticed that something was wrong? Right? Then I turned my anger toward the gun manufacturers. Why are guns as powerful as the one AR-15 that this young man used? Why are these weapons of, I consider, mass destruction? Why are these weapons accessible to 18-year-olds without mental health evaluations, without competency tests, without training? Why are these weapons so accessible? Is human life really less valuable than the profit that you make from selling these weapons to people who have no idea or cannot even understand the power that they hold? And then I find my anger directed toward Congress. Congress, why did you take prayer out of our schools? Why did you make calling on the name of God unconstitutional? When what should be unconstitutional is the fact that you are peddling these weapons to individuals who you know are not competent or responsible mentally, emotionally, to handle. Why is the mass production and selling of these weapons so freely afforded? And all you need do to obtain one is a permit. And then if I'm honest, I look at myself as a Christian. I look at myself as a member of the church. And I ask myself, are we doing all that we could be doing as the body of Christ, as the church? Are we praying enough? Are we seeking the lost? Are we making ourselves visible to the community and to people with mental health issues? Are we proactive and not reactive? Are we more concerned about being blessed of God than those who are oppressed outside of God? It's like this is a cycle. It's like every time something like this happens, we are temporarily outraged, we are angry, and we are convicted, and we want to make change. But it seems it only lasts as long as it takes to get the victims in the ground. And after they've been laid to rest, and after the story is no longer breaking news, then it no longer breaks our hearts. And when our hearts are not broken or contrite, we don't care enough. We're simply not moved enough. It's like if we're not in pain for longer than that moment, it doesn't bother us. Like, are we desensitized as a nation? Like, has it happened so many times that we're just like, oh, wow, that's a shame. And then what? Like, is the issue guns, or is the problem hearts without God, homes without discipline, schools without prayer, courtrooms without justice? Like, what's the root of this issue? What's the real problem?
I don't know, but my mind and my heart keeps going back to the shooter. My mind and my heart keeps, you know, wanting to emphasize the fact that I still don't think that we as a society pay attention to mental health. I don't think that we take it as serious as it is. I think that, you know, in terms of depression, when you think about depression, you hear people say, oh, just don't be sad. You know, don't be sad. When you hear people talk about anxiety, you know, most people will say, well, just calm down. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful, you know. And when someone is, you know, just not stable, you know, we look at them as the taboo person still. I feel like we're still yet unequipped. I feel like there's still not enough spaces where mental health is really talked about, not talked at, but talked about, where people who are really struggling can say, like, I feel like in this instance, maybe all of us are to blame, because have we yet still not created spaces for people to say something is wrong with me? You know what I mean? I'm struggling, you know? And I feel like all of us are just to blame. Like, maybe you could just be a little bit more kinder, you know? I'm going to be honest with you. I have this neighbor, and a sweet guy, older gentleman, and every time one of us comes outside, not just my townhouse, but anytime someone in our development comes outside, he rushes to the door and he makes sure that you see him, and he makes sure that to say hello. He's always, hello, how you doing? You know, as soon as you come out, as soon as you get out of your car, as soon as you walk to the mailbox, he's just right there to say hello to you. And I'm gonna be honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, not today. Like, sir, I don't feel like it. I'm going to need you to leave me alone. I'm trying to go in the house. I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to be bombarded with your hello. But I have no idea what it's like for him. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's fighting depression and loneliness. I have no idea what compels him to run to the door to make sure someone sees him. And maybe that is the problem, that we don't see each other. We don't see each other unless you look like this, or you sound like this, or you talk or you walk like this. But if you are in any way contrary to what we think makes you visible, we ignore people. And could that have been this young man's issue? Was he crying out for help all along? I mean, obviously, I don't know the details of his personal life. I just feel like there's just so much more that we could be doing. There is. I feel like we are still that nation that is so far out of touch with the reality of mental health. I still feel like that. I feel like, I mean, we've made some strides, and during months like this, where it's mental health awareness, hashtags are increasingly popular. And, you know, there has been some athletes who've come out and say, hey, in light of my mental health, I'm going to take a break, and thus forth. And, you know, we've applauded them. But what about the people who are not athletes? What about your neighbor? What about your grocer? You know, what about your mom? What about your child? What about you, who may face your own mental health issues? Like, I just think it's so much broader and so much deeper than we like to acknowledge. And we often villainize people who are suffering from mental health issues. And like I said, I offer no excuse. I offer no pass. But I do think it's time to really look at mental health directly and get down to the bottom of it. Like, to me, mental health is just as much as a pandemic as COVID-19. It's just as much as a pandemic as the war on drugs. Like, why are we not taking the same stance? And don't get me wrong, I think that, again, gun manufacturers, gun shops, are just as much as responsible, have just as much as responsibility, as anyone else. But I just feel like at the same time, this act wasn't in self-defense. Something is wrong somewhere,
And we're just not getting it. It's like we're not getting it.
There are 35,000 people who die annually due to gun violence. 35,000 people die annually due to gun violence. I mean, not to mention what takes place in our inner cities. And now to add to that horrible equation, what takes place in some schools, what takes place in some places of worship. People are dying. Like, at this rate, who do we even leave our legacies to if our children are dying at such high numbers? I mean, one is too many, let alone 35,000. Like, we need to keep that same energy that we have, that same outrage that we have that seems to only last for however long it takes for us to bury the victims. And once they are put to rest, we somehow regain our peace of mind. But we need to be outraged all year round. We need to be outraged every time we go to vote. We need to be outraged every time we have mental health conversations with our children. We need to advocate for those who can't advocate for themselves. We need to open our eyes and look at the people that we see every day and ask them, how are you? How are you really doing? And be prepared to listen. And even if you can't do anything, be prepared to be there long enough or open enough so that if they so choose to be able to come to you and say something is wrong, that you can actually do something about it. I just want to know when is enough enough. I just want to make sure that I'm in the place, in the space, that I'm doing all that I can. I can't do what I can't do, but whatever I can do, I must do.
Like, just last year alone, 20 million people bought guns. And I want to know, out of those 20 million people, like, how many of them were between the ages of 18 and 25? You know what I mean? Like, how many of our young adults are we arming irresponsibly? Right? Like, and how many of the 20 million people have innocently, mistakenly, or accidentally shot and killed someone? Like, when are we going to hone in on those numbers versus the numbers that we make from selling these, you know, rifles and guns and weapons? Like, when are we going to do that contrast? I mean, I don't know if these conversations are being held in Congress, which I doubt. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, it's your constitutional right to bear arms. Yeah, but isn't it against the law to kill someone? We literally got to do better. I mean, we're literally the only country with this problem. We have to do better. We got to do more. We got to get involved in any capacity that we can. So it is really my prayer that God would just begin to speak to our hearts about ways in which we can make a difference and ways in which we can be the change that we so desperately want to see and that we need. God, it is also my prayer, God, that you would send the spirit of comfort and peace to all of the families affected by this tragedy. I pray, Father God, that you would restore their hope in humanity and in life and in love and just allow them to grow and recover from all that they have experienced. Only you can mend our broken hearts, God. So I just pray for your love and for your peace and your spirit to comfort all of those who mourn right now, all of those who are distressed right now. And God, I also pray, God, that you would send your spirit, God, to relieve us from mental health issues, concerns, and challenges. You said that above all, you wish that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our souls prosper, God. So we know that mental health, emotional health, and physical well-being is your plan and your desire for us all. So we pray, God, that we just become more conscious of one another, of our lives, with value and appreciation for who you've made and what you've made us to be. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening in today. Please don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts as well. Also, if you're looking to update your wardrobe, I do have an online boutique called Studio E Boutique. All of my Triumph Over Drama listeners will receive a 10% discount at checkout when you use the code Triumph. Additionally, if you'd like to follow me on all my socials, I am Miss Eve on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. If you follow me there, I'll follow you back. Again, I thank you for your support. Have a great day. Bye.